Good morning, it's Maryland Morning on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Trauma is a word many of us associate with the battlefield, or perhaps the athletic field, a wound, a shock, a blow, physical or mental. Now there's growing understanding of how cities are affected by trauma, the people who live in some neighborhoods and entire communities, and there's more awareness of the awful toll trauma takes on health. Today, the Urban Health Institute at Johns Hopkins has assembled dozens of experts to look at the impact of trauma on cities and on health. One of the speakers will be Baltimore's Health Commissioner, Lena Wen. She stopped by WIPR to discuss trauma with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Sheila.
So help me understand what trauma means in this context. What causes the kind of trauma that we're talking about when we talk about community-wide trauma?
When I was in my medical training, I worked in Rwanda. This was about 10 years after the genocide happened there. And what I saw was that every single person was touched by trauma in a very deep way. It wasn't just the individuals who were physically affected. It was everybody else. It was families that were broken apart. It was neighbors who saw each other getting killed. It was people who knew not only the victims, but also the perpetrators of this trauma. And literally, trauma and this fear of being re-traumatized was in the very consciousness of everyone who lived there. Now, I was treating patients who had HIV there, but there was no way that we could treat our patients with HIV or treat their malnutrition or treat malaria without also addressing the very deep wounds that trauma inflicted in everyone involved. So that's what we mean by care for the community, that it's not just the individual that's involved when it's everybody else who either witnessed trauma in some way or who felt the effects of trauma in some way. And for these individuals too, it wreaks havoc on their physical well-being, emotional well-being, and really affects every aspect of how they live their lives. Here in Baltimore, we see similar issues as well.
Yeah, well, bring us there, because I am struck by that story, and it's an eye-opening story, but it's Rwanda. It was a genocide. What does that have to do with what people are experiencing in Baltimore?
In many ways, the stories of Rwanda, the stories of war fields abroad, don't differ so much from what we experience here in our backyards in Baltimore City and in many other urban areas as well. Here in our city, for example, we have statistics showing that among our youth right here in Baltimore, that more than half experience symptoms that are consistent with post-traumatic stress disorder. As I've gone around our city, listening to the stories of our youth, listening to our stories of our families and our neighborhoods, everyone can tell some story about how they themselves were traumatized by the death of a loved one, by living in severe economic hardship, by being affected by heroin and significant mental health. And we know that there's a study, for example, in California called the ACEs study, or the Adverse Childhood Experiences study, that found that children who grow up being exposed to so many different adverse events will have much higher rates not only of emotional distress later on in life, but also a physical distress. And it's feeling this lack of safety net, this constant pervasive fear that causes this community-level trauma.
The physical effects on individuals are what? What as a doctor, what do you see?
Not only do we see significantly higher rates of depression and other mental illnesses, as well as substance addiction and higher rates of suicide, we also see higher rates of cancer, higher rates of heart disease, and in general, many other markers of poor health, which is remarkable because our biggest public health challenge needs to be to treat trauma not only as something that we should be talking about in general, but rather as a marker for poor health and as something that we have to address immediately. We would always talk about high blood pressure, diabetes, lack of access to nutritious food when we talk about good health. Well, it's time for us to see trauma and access to mental health resources and access to addiction treatment with the same level of urgency as we do for physical problems too.
Where in Baltimore? Where is community-wide trauma a problem?
I would argue that community-level trauma is a problem throughout Baltimore City, just like it is throughout every city here in the U.S. Studies, for example, show that we have a very high level of these ACEs score, the Adverse Childhood Experiences score, such that at least 6 out of every 10 children has at least one ACEs score. And across the country, the number is about 4 or 5 out of 10 children have at least one ACEs score. Because it's not just a matter of witnessing violence in front of you. Violence certainly is one aspect, but it's also experiencing significant economic hardship and being involved in families that are separated and being victims also of institutionalized racism. Those are all aspects that contribute to community-level trauma as well.
That's Baltimore City Health Commissioner Lena Wen here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about a symposium she'll be part of at Johns Hopkins today, seeking to understand the impact of trauma on cities and on health. The agenda for today uses the phrase trauma-informed. For example, you'll be speaking on a panel about trauma-informed clinical services. Trauma-informed is not a phrase that most of us use in our daily vocabulary. What does it mean?
The way that I think about trauma-informed care is to say that it's not just about addressing trauma at the individual level. We also have to address trauma at the community level. And that begins with talking about trauma. We tend to lump trauma and mental illness and substance addiction under this category of the unmentionables, quote-unquote unmentionables, things that we just don't want to talk about. So it's important for us to first recognize that trauma is an emergency that we have to speak about. Then we have to really incorporate screening and education into every part of our community, incorporate screening for trauma in our clinical services. And then ultimately, it is about building resilience, understanding that we have to give people that control and empowerment back, including with things like building healthy role models and ensuring that we don't re-traumatize our community, all of our members, and provide them with the safety that they need.
What would be an example of re-traumatizing?
You know, when I've been speaking with our youth here in Baltimore City, one of the most striking anecdotes or stories that I have is I went to visit this group of 8 to 16-year-olds, and there were about 40 kids in this room. And I asked them, what is the most significant health challenge that you see? And I'm not sure what I expected our youth to say. I thought maybe they would say things like, you know, STDs or smoking or other things that they heard about. They all, without exception, pointed to one thing that they thought was the greatest health challenge. And for them, that was mental health. Now, they didn't quite say the greatest challenge was mental health. What they said was they talked about watching their 16-year-old, 17-year-old brothers getting shot in front of them. They talked about not knowing why they should get up to go to school every morning when their aunt and their mom and their grandma don't get up because they're addicted to drugs. They talked about being separated from their families at birth and not knowing who to turn to because they don't have a safety net. That's getting re-traumatized every single day. The experiences of these youth show me why trauma-informed care and care in our communities is so critical, because we have to provide that safe environment or else our kids are literally living in a war zone. There may not be dead bodies everywhere, although there are, but this level of trauma permeates every aspect of our society, and that's what we have to begin to talk about as a medical emergency.
You mentioned that trauma and mental health are unmentionables that we don't want to talk about. Is that partly because we don't really see solutions the way we perhaps do see solutions for some physical ailments?
If you see someone bleeding on the street, you would help them. If you see someone who is dying of heart disease, you would help them. And we would find it, in fact, unconscionable in this day and age to not address it. But nationwide, for example, with substance addiction, only about 10% of people who have significant addiction are actually getting the help that they need. For what other illness would we find that to be acceptable? Would we find it acceptable that 10% of people with cancer are getting chemotherapy? We would never do that. So we really have to begin to understand trauma, mental health, substance addiction as the emergencies that they actually are. And we have to begin to talk about them, not only when it comes to addressing the individual patient, but also how can we build stronger communities? How can we really improve the health of populations?
There's been a lot of attention in Baltimore to disparities in healthcare and to different outcomes. For example, much lower life expectancies for Black residents than for white residents. Is trauma the driving force behind disparities?
Health disparities are complex, and there are so many factors that may contribute to them, including issues like poverty and drug abuse and racism and being treated differently, and prejudice certainly underlies that as well. All of these factors also tie in so closely with trauma and the perceptions of community-level trauma. So I would say that trauma could be one driving factor. And this is one of those cases where causation is so difficult to sort out, because not only is it the cause, but also trauma could be the effect of so many of the disparities that happen as well.
I really appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Dr. Lena Wen, Baltimore City's health commissioner, will be speaking today at the Johns Hopkins Urban Health Institute symposium titled Healing Together, Community-Level Trauma, Its Causes, Consequences, and Solutions. Baltimore Police Commissioner Anthony Batts is also scheduled to speak today on a panel about trauma, the police, the community, and courts. This weekend, his department has been criticized for creating trauma in the community in light of the death of a 27-year-old man, Freddie Gray, who died after being injured in police custody. We reached out to Commissioner Batts, but he was not able to join us this morning. The symposium just started. It runs through this afternoon. We have more information at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, new ways of retiring. Stay tuned to 88.1.